prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. We are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
And today we're finishing the top 50 questions Christians can't answer.
Are you sure?
We're going to finish.
Are you sure?
We're on question 40. We're going to make it through to question 50.
Are you sure?
And we're going to do Bible contradiction. Am I sure? Dave, if I don't do this, I will quit my... I don't know. I'll quit something. Okay. I'm not sure what, but I'll quit something.
Your sense of humor.
Maybe my diets.
Your jokes.
I'll quit dieting for all time if we don't make it through this.
All right. That's probably better for everybody around you anyway.
I hope we don't make it through this. Anyway, you should come out to Revolution Church because, as you can tell, we like to have fun. Mm-hmm. We just take people as they are. We don't care what you look like, what you dress like. We want you to come out to Revolution Church. Be along with us. But also, let's get into this, Dave. Let's just hit this up.
You just want to hit the ground running. Trying to get through this today, aren't you?
We're going to get through it, I'm telling you. Hey, you know, dude, thank you for everyone who shares on Facebook and media. Thank you for everyone who gives to the show. Thank you for everyone who sends in questions.
Right.
We love it. Now let's do it.
All right, we're going to finish this. 50 questions that Christians can't answer. Number 40.
Number 40.
God allowed Jesus to be tempted as a human by Satan in the wilderness of the desert. Again, if God and Jesus are the same entity, then what kind of sense does it make that God would allow himself to be tempted by Satan in the wilderness to see if he would give in to the temptation? In addition to that, if he were all-knowing, he would have already known the outcome and therefore could have avoided the whole thing altogether.
Skeptic versus Pastor!
There it is. Right out the gate.
Okay, let's just go through this line by line.
Okay.
Because he's got good questions.
Mm-hmm.
He says, again, if God and Jesus are the same entity, which...
They are.
Well, kind of.
Right.
We have to make a clear distinction here. They're the same substance. They are not the same person.
Right.
So God and Jesus are the same substance. And as we talked about in the last show... This is not illogical. We showed why.
Right.
You can have living things with different numbers of persons. A tree is living, zero persons.
Right.
I am living, one person.
Right.
Right. So you can, the number of persons in a living thing can change. We know that. God is a living thing, a substance with multiple persons.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not personalities,
right.
But multiple persons. So although they are the same being, they are different persons inside
right.
that being. So he said, then what kind of sense does it make for God to allow himself? Well, God the Father allowed Jesus, but it's not as though God like just wound up in that situation or God said, I'm going to test myself. That's not what's happening. In fact, God wasn't even really testing Jesus. Jesus was coming to the end of a fast where he was, he wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking, he's connecting with God the Father, right? And you have to remember that Jesus has two natures. He's got the nature of God.
Right.
He's also got the nature of a man.
Absolutely.
So he has this human nature by where he experienced all the temptations we can experience, and this is part of that experiencing temptations that we experience. So he knows what it's like for us. So Satan comes to him, tempts him in three different ways, and then he says, I think that answered that question, but then he says, mm-hmm. In addition, if he were all-knowing, he would have already known the outcome. Well, okay, this is true. God is all-knowing, and God did know the outcome, but that's not the same thing as experiencing.
Right. I was about actually ready to say that. God knew what was going to happen. He hadn't experienced it as a human.
Exactly. When I say to my daughter, Macy, she's 5, she loves to hug me.
Mm-hmm.
When I say to her, come give me a hug, and she starts running towards me, I know for a fact I'm going to get a hug.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that I'm going to get a hug is not the same thing as actually getting a hug.
Right.
Right. Jesus, on kind of the flip side, that was really good. On the flip side of bad things, being tempted, God knowing that we can be tempted and God knowing what temptation is like isn't the same thing as experiencing what temptation is like.
Right.
And Jesus went through it. And that would be one of the reasons why Jesus went through that.
Okay.
Number 41.
If heaven is to be a place free of sadness, pain, and suffering, then how can we be happy in heaven knowing that the vast majority of humankind is painfully burning for eternity, especially when some of them may be your loved ones?
Skeptic versus Pastor!
Okay, hit it.
I'm going to do that after every question.
Okay.
Not really. Actually, you know, we've answered this question before
mm-hmm.
Multiple times. But I'll say it is a good question. We know that our loved ones are going to be, that some of them will be in hell. Mm-hmm. And so this is a very good question that even Christians have. Now, I would, of course, say you are presupposing something in this question. Presupposing what?
Let's see.
You are presupposing that not only God exists, but that
right,
heaven yeah. and hell also right. exist. Yeah. So again, this isn't a challenge to Christianity. This isn't a logical reason to not believe. This is simply saying, hey, if God is real and if heaven and hell are real, how does it work? And so whatever answer I give, whether you like it or not, you've already agreed in this question that God is real and heaven and hell exist.
Right. And that seems to be the case with a lot of the questions on this list.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what we have are two different types of questions. On one hand, we have questions that challenge the faith and maybe cause us problems. On the other hand, we have questions that make us go, how does that work? And right. it's not a challenge to our faith. It's just a kind of a scratching the head. Why is it like that? And this is a why is it like that? How does that work type question. This isn't a challenge to God's existence or anything. And the answer is when we are in the presence of God and we are in eternity with all the rewards and all the greatness and the glory of God, it is going to be so good and so fantastic. It will overcome any sad feeling,
Amen.
Any pain we have. Period. You know, God, in the book of Revelation, it says that he will wipe every tear from our eye. Now, some people might interpret that to say that there will be a tear mm-hmm. and God will wipe it from your eye. You may have those moments where you remember that someone didn't choose God. They rejected God mm-hmm. and it makes you sad and God leans down and he takes care of you. Just like when people die now, it makes us sad, but we find things in life that are great and we're right. able to move on and still have joy.
Amen. All right, number 42. Seeing as though everything we, including Christians, enjoy in the modern world is a product of science, why do Christians so fervently deny factual scientific evidence that disproves so many aspects of the Bible and their religion as a whole?
Oh, because we just hate science.
Skeptic versus Pastor!
Oh, Jeff.
That was sarcasm for okay. anyone listening.
I was worried that might be a lie.
We don't hate science. We love science, yeah. man. We love it.
That's what this program is all about. I mean, really connecting science and faith.
Yeah. And he says, Christians enjoy the modern world as a product of science. Now, I would say that's true. I love microwaves. Mm-hmm. I really do. I love air conditioners. Right. Oh, my goodness. I would not want to live when air conditioners didn't exist. But that doesn't change the fact that when air conditioning didn't exist, people still had joy.
Right. That's true.
It's true. I think it's better with air conditioners. Mm-hmm. But people still had joy. They still had kids. They had families. They still loved God. They still experienced every emotion that we experience, even though they didn't have air conditioning. Sometimes when people ask these questions, they're acting as though modern scientific inventions like air conditioning or the microscope make life possible.
Right. Like we can't live without them.
Like life would just be so disastrously awful without them that how could we not? And that's not true. People still had joy. But let's get to his real question. Why do Christians so fervently deny factual scientific evidence that disproves so many aspects of the Bible? I don't know what he's talking about.
Right.
If you would maybe give us an example, I'm not aware of any scientific piece of evidence that disproves any aspect of our religion, as he says. So, you know, if you're a skeptic and you're listening, maybe shoot me some. Shoot me some scientific mm-hmm. evidence that disproves God or disproves our religion.
Right.
We would love to have it. Tell you what, if you send me some scientific evidence that disproves an aspect of our religion, I will put it on our show.
There you go.
All right.
Right on.
So send it to me. Send it to me.
All right. Number 43, if Christianity is the only true religion, then why do practitioners of all other religions feel fulfilled in their faith and achieve the same desired results as Christians?
Well, this is a funny question because this person doesn't believe in Christianity, mm-hmm. right? Who's writing this?
Right.
But he thinks that we feel fulfilled, right?
Yeah.
So I could ask him, why, if you don't think Christianity is right, why do you think Christians feel fulfilled?
Right.
And he would say, well, just because you people can be fulfilled doing all kinds of things, right or wrong. I would say, yeah, exactly.
Right.
C.S. Lewis, great Christian author. This is going to be a paraphrase of his quote, but he said, I never went to Christianity because I thought it would make me feel good. I always knew a bottle of bourbon could do that.
Right.
He said, I went to Christianity because it was true.
Yeah.
Right. And so we want Christianity to help us to feel right and to feel fulfilled and to feel to experience the joy of the Holy Spirit being inside of us. But that's not why we come to it. And you can certainly find temporary joy and happiness mm-hmm. in other things, even things that are wrong.
Right. Amen. All right. Number 44. If God created everything.
Dave, we're going to make it through all 10 questions.
Skeptic versus Pastor.
Sorry. I just really. No, read it
number
at a normal speed.
Dave?
44. Stop it.
If God created everything, then why did he create the tree of knowledge of good and evil and put it right in the middle of the Garden of Eden for Eve to eat of its fruit, even if he didn't want her to? Furthermore, why did God create the serpent that tempted Eve? Uh-oh. Sounds like another possible setup.
Okay.
It was totally a setup.
Yep. Next question. No, look, this is actually a good question, and mm-hmm. it's one that a lot of Christians misunderstand. This first couple chapters of Genesis are an allegory talking about what things were like. Mm-hmm. There was not just one tree that had fruit, and if you ate it, you doomed mankind. There was not just one tree that had eternal life, and if you ate it, you had eternal life. I mean, that would have been a really bad decision on God's part, probably.
Right.
I mean, what if Adam and Eve had eaten the tree of eternal life before they ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil? That would have been bad.
Right.
And why on earth did God only tell them not to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Why didn't he tell them not to eat the tree of eternal life? Why was that okay to do? Like, and so what you come down to is this is an allegory. Mm-hmm. Plus, Satan can't just take on the body of any creature and start talking in human voices like a snake. When we're in the book of Revelation, we read about a great dragon who talks and does things, and everybody goes, oh yeah, that's allegory because talking dragons aren't real. We read the first book of Genesis and we see a talking snake and everybody's like, ooh, that must be for real.
Right.
And that doesn't...
I get what you're saying there.
Okay, so this is an allegory, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil symbolizes and represents humanity's choice to reject God based on Satan's temptations against Eve.
Right.
Now, why did God create the serpent? Again, this is presupposing what?
That God exists.
That God exists. Mm-hmm. So once we've established that God exists, you can ask all kinds of questions about why did God do it the way he did it? But you have to agree. This question already agrees that God exists. So mm-hmm. this question is not a reason to deny God's existence.
Right.
This is just a, why did he do it the way he did it? I think one of the answers is God, as creator of the universe, as the ultimately most creative being that exists, can create whatever he chooses to create. Mm-hmm. And he chose to create angelic creatures that had free will. And one of them, actually a third of them, turned away from him.
Right.
That happens when you create free will. And last show, we went over free will and what happens. God made us with free will so that we could choose love, because love is the greatest good.
Amen.
And having the possibility of love is greater than all the evil that exists. And so God knew we were going to do evil, but he chose to give us the capacity to love anyway.
Amen. Well said. Number 45.
Thanks, Dave.
In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, right?
Yes.
Then Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel.
Yes.
What happens next? How did the species propagate itself? Incest is genetically detrimental to offspring. It is also seen as being terribly immoral among the majority of people alive today, including Christians. There is either some incest going on, or God created more people from scratch that we weren't told about. Same scenario applies to the flood incident. Sorry. Sure, Noah's three sons and wives, but that would still mean...
All right. We're going to come back to this question on the other side of the show, on the other side of the break. We're going to take a couple minute break, and we're going to come back and talk about Adam and Eve had kids, but what next? Did they have to have incest to
right.
have more people?
Yeah.
And was that wrong? So we'll come back right back. Well, you know,
we'll talk
back
about that.
All right. TruthRevolution.tv is our website. That is TruthRevolution.tv. One more time.
TruthRevolution.tv. And you ought to get there.
You can find all our shows, past shows, truth mm-hmm. shots. You can ask questions. You can donate. You can harass Dave.
And Jeff.
No, just Dave. And if you want to get to Revolution Church, we also have information about Revolution Church at truthrevolution.tv.
Right.
Of course, if you want to go to Revolution Church's website on its own, you can go to...
Revo.church.
That's Revo.church.
Yep.
No matter what you look like, we'd love to have you here to learn about God with us.
Amen.
truth shots from truthrevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One of the things we find interesting is that humans have always believed in a God.
Even philosophers like Aristotle and Plato, who were ready to reject anything that wasn't logical, believed.
Author William Lane Craig has said, the ancient Greek philosophers were impressed with the order that pervades the cosmos, and many of them ascribed that order to the work of an intelligent mind who fashioned the universe.
He continues, the heavens in constant revolution across the sky were especially awesome to the ancients. Plato's Academy lavished extensive time and thought on the study of astronomy because Plato believed it was the science that would awaken man to his divine destiny.
Great point by Dr. Craig. In other words, the very fact that our universe is ordered instead of random and chaotic
should be a sign to us that some kind of ordered mind created the rules that govern the universe. It was not a random and chaotic accident.
Like it says in Romans 1:20.
Read more. Get Reasonable Faith by William Lane Craig.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
What's up, Pastor Dave?
I saw a guy come into Revolution Church the other day wearing an old ripped up Nirvana t-shirt.
Like the band?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I gave him a fist bump and some coffee.
Yeah, all right. At Revolution Church, we aren't worried what you look like, but we do want you and your family to learn about Jesus along with us.
Check us out online at revo.church.
That's revo.church. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m., revo.church. At Revolution, we love other churches here in town. For instance, we love New Community.
Hi, I'm Mike Willick, pastor at New Community. We're the church that loves like Jesus and lives like Jesus.
And what does that mean?
Well, we strive to love people unconditionally like Jesus did and walk in the shoes and represent Jesus wherever we go.
Where are you located?
We're located at 530 East Cloud Street.
And where can they find more information?
You can go to our website at newcommunitycc.org or on Facebook. Our service times are at 9 and 10:45.
Thanks, Mike.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life. I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Some Christians treat the love of God like something to be reflected, like a mirror. It hits them and immediately goes out, but the problem is they don't feel it. Some treat God's love like a coat. They feel the warmth, but it never goes anywhere else. I like to think of it like a battery. We soak up the love of Jesus, but that energy and love is meant to be used for something else. We receive the love from God, and it translates into taking care of orphans and widows and foster kids. Be a battery for Jesus.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about 50 questions that atheists can't answer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they can't answer it. I mean, because we're doing a good job of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the article says it's questions Christians can't answer, but...
Yep. All right, so let's get into this. Adam and Eve had kids.
Right.
But for those kids to make humans, they would have had to...
Right.
Have mate with each other.
Right. There you go.
And so... So there we go. And so that's incest, right? And
yes.
Isn't incest evil? Is you know, it definitely actually in the Bible, it even says
we shouldn't do it.
Shouldn't do that. So, and for any kids listening, incest is just when two people who are really closely related to each other make a baby together.
Right.
So this is actually bad because it creates genetic problems, mm-hmm. right? So you have 46 chromosomes. 23 and 23. You got two sets of 23. And, you know, when you, when a man and a woman mate and the baby takes on the sets of chromosomes, one from each parent, and you take those. If both parents have a broken genetic marker, then you're going to have problems.
Right.
And so what hopefully happens is that you have one parent, if they got a broken genetic marker, then you get the other parent's healthy one and your body is able to survive and mm-hmm. be fine. Well, what happens when you have incest is you get both broken genetic markers and it amplifies it. You're gonna have an actual problem.
Right.
That's a really simplistic explanation, but just think about this. You're gonna be able to come up with the answer yourself. If the problem isn't actually incest, if the problem is putting broken genetic markers together, why would have it been okay for Adam and Eve and their children to mate together?
Because they didn't have any broken markers.
They didn't have any broken genetic markers.
Right.
I mean, it took many, 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 many generations for these markers, for these parts of our genetics to get messed up and broken, and they were pure. They were perfect back then. And so you wouldn't have had genetic problems by having incest. And he does get into the question about Adam, or about Noah. He says Noah had three sons and wives, but that would still mean that out of the eight remaining individuals on the planet, there's only a 50% variation of genetic code. There were three ladies there and three men, and all the ladies came from different pairs, and the men came from the same pair.
Right.
And so there is significant variation there, but we would also contend that there wasn't nearly as many genetic problems during Noah's time as there was during our time. I mean, not even close. Maybe no genetic. We don't know. But or maybe that's when genetic problems started coming to existence. But again, this isn't a problem of why God exists or not. This is just a, if this is the way God did it, why? How does it work out?
Right.
So,
all right. Number 46.
Actually, before we get to number 46, let's do a Bible contradiction.
All right.
Bible contradiction.
So number 45 and a half. Is God peaceable? Romans 5:33 or 15:33, sorry, says God, he's the God of peace. Isaiah 2:4 says, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Actually, in Exodus 15:3, it says, the Lord is a man of war. Joel 3:9-10 says, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say,
says the opposite.
I am strong. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So is God peaceable or is he for war? The Bible contains examples of God going to war and examples of God saying he's about peace. So which one is it? Well, I think in our cracked acronym, we have to go for A, for author's intention here.
Right.
What is trying to be communicated? And every single time God goes to war or causes war, it's because God has tried time and time and time again to get someone to repent and to change, and they just stubbornly refuse to do it. So God, the author of life, who has the right to take life when he chooses, decides at certain points, this has got to stop.
Right.
You know, as a parent, sometimes I decide, hey, this has got to stop. Obviously, I'm not taking my kid's life, but I might take his toy.
Right.
Right? I am a parent who loves to give. I would much rather give. I am a giver. But there's moments and times where my kids leave me very little alternative. I got to take their toy away.
Right. And taking that toy is kind of like taking a life when you look at the reaction of the child.
Exactly. Right? And so instead of being a giver, I'm now a taker.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't change my nature as a giver.
Right.
It just means the circumstances called for something, and because I always do what is right, I don't really, but pretend, I will do what is necessary.
Right.
God is a peaceable God. He prefers peace. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross.
Amen.
To make peace for us. If he wasn't a God of peace, he wouldn't have sent his son to go through punishment and torture just so that people who rejected him could be forgiven. But he's a God of peace. So he allowed Jesus to be suffered. He allowed Jesus to be punished so that we wouldn't have to be punished, to pay our bill, essentially.
Right.
And so that we are allowed to be forgiven by God, so that we can go to God, because he is a God of peace. If he wasn't really a God of peace, he just would have said, fine, I'm done with you all. No forgiveness.
Right.
But he is. And that's the answer for our Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, number 46.
Yes, let's do it.
Why does God allow things to happen among his followers that he has already deemed to be sinful? I.e. incest, example from above, thou shalt not kill, and so forth. And is it right as long as it is done in his name? Remember, more deaths occurred in the history, in God's name. Buzzer, please. Thank you.
Right. Again, not true that more deaths have occurred in God's name than anywhere, any other name. That's not true.
Right.
Many more have been killed in the name of atheism.
Yeah.
If you want to start counting.
Yeah. Socialism.
Marxism.
Yeah. Marxism's that. So.
But nevertheless, let's just ask the question that he was getting at, which was, why does God allow his followers to do bad things? And again, Dave, what's this come back to?
This comes back to free will.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
God is not going to step in and stop every bad decision you make. And again, he's also presupposing what?
That God exists.
Right. He's saying, okay, if God exists, why would he let his people do this? This is not an argument against God's existence. This is just saying, why? Why does God do it this way? Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly I would like to know why God lets Dave make fun of me.
Because it's a choice. It's free will.
Right. But like we make bad decisions all the time. And if every time I made really a bad decision, every time I made a bad decision, God stepped down and blocked me and wouldn't let me do it, then free will isn't real.
Right. And therefore love is not real.
And if God stopped our free will choices every time and he stopped love from existing, he would be doing evil. God's not going to do evil. He's going to allow us to make our choices so that we also have the capacity to love. We don't live in a cartoon world where I shoot someone with a gun and it turns into a fluffy cotton ball and flies into their mouth and like, cotton candy.
Right.
Right. This is not fake world. This is real world with real choices. But God will come. Set all wrong things right someday.
Amen.
He will forgive all our wrongs if we accept it. He'll set all things right. If you suffered, you will be rewarded. So we have to keep that in mind too.
All right. Number 47. How did Adam live to be 930? Seth the 912, Methuselah the 969 years old.
Dang!
When anthropological evidence shows that we have progressively increased our longevity throughout history. If they did have that long, live that long back then, this concept would be reversed and our longevity should have been decreasing throughout history, right? That would mean that people 500 years ago should live to be about 200 years old. Why do we find evidence of this throughout written historical, written historical birth and death records?
So anyway, what he's saying is pretty incorrect in that he's saying our age has progressively gotten older throughout all of written history. I mean, that may be the case for the last couple hundred or couple thousand years, but we don't have records of people's ages from 10,000 years ago. We don't.
Right.
The only record we have is biblical writings. They record people's ages from more than 10,000 years ago. And we're saying, look, Adam would have lived millions of, or not millions, but 150,000 years ago.
Right.
That's when humans first came on the scene. And so we don't have written records back this far. The only written record we have says that they were that old.
Right. And it's a written record.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would note that there's no contradictory evidence. I would actually suggest that scientists are a little bit more perplexed scientifically about why we die than why we live long. You have these things called telomeres. We had a guest on one time talking about them. I think it was Fuzz Rana from Reasons to Believe. Talking about, look, we kind of know why people can live a long time. And it's really only disease or decay or problems that cause us to die. If you didn't have that sort of disease and decay, you could just go on living.
Right.
And so that people early on in human history lived a long time wouldn't really be a problem.
Right. All right, number 48. God has killed more people than Adolf Hitler.
We gotta go fast, Dave.
Benito Mussolini. Saddam Hussein. Sorry. All of these people combined. Why would you not follow them instead of God?
Okay, because God is God and Adolf and Mussolini are not God. And God has a right to take life if he chooses to. These men did not have a right to take life.
Right. Okay.
Period.
All right, number 49. Why is it that when a Christian is faced with a question that have huge negative implications towards their logic and faith, they conveniently say that it's God's plan?
I don't think we've said that yet, have we?
We have not.
Okay, because that question doesn't apply.
Okay. Number 50. Why would God give us the capability of logic and reason and expect us not to use it when it comes to belief in him and his word?
We should use it.
Amen.
And I don't think God doesn't expect us to use it. In the book of Job, God says, who put reason in the mind of man?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is
God.
God has. I mean, he's the one who gave us reason and the ability to think. Use your thinker. God gave it to you.
Amen.
To think. So we made it through 50 questions that we couldn't answer.
Right on.
There was only one where we had to say, yeah, I'm not 100% sure about that. And that was in last week's show.
Right.
And but there we go, people. If you have any other questions, feel free to send them in. We'd love to have them. Come on out to Revolution Church. What time?
At 10 o'clock, 11:30, and 5 o'clock.
Unless you're listening to this podcast at a later date, then check the service times on the website.
Revo.church.
Revo.church or truthrevolution.tv.
Amen.
Either one of those. We'd love to have you out here. Doesn't care. Tattoos. Pajamas.
We love you, man.
We just want you to know God along with us. Let's do this together. Come on out. Have a great week and God bless.